answer. What does it mean? What's a practical step to you to die? Okay, to die to yourself. What does that mean? What does that look like in your life? 877-800-8645. 877-800-8645. Your calls will be answered and screened by Casey Seabass Hobbs, who is in the call screening booth right now, and I will add, lonely. All right, so don't leave him alone in there. We thought Jim Coble was coming. Apparently hung up at Walmart. He announced on the way to the show that, hey, I go to Walmart once a month. I may or may not make it.
And he just had to go during Tal Prince Live, huh?
Yeah, says great things about the show and how riveting we are that a dude would choose to go to Walmart for that once-a-month visit rather than be here at Tal Prince Live. So send your cards and letters and emails to Jim Coble. So anyway, what does it mean to die to yourself? What's that practically look like? What does that feel like? What does it look like to you? 877-800-8645. 877-800-8645. Also, tonight, as is usual, Garrett Tiny G Irby, working the dials. You've already heard him, but Garrett, how are you tonight, man?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well, Tal. Thanks so much.
All right. It's good to be back in the studio. Last week I was on the phone. My lovely wife was here. You may rather hear her. I know that I would. Good night. Listen, is she not fantastic? Heaven help you if you try and play the victim card on this show and my wife is on the air. She will tear you down, you know, all in grace and love. But, man, what a great job she did. And great to be on the air with her. I love her, obviously, because I married her. And, man alive, what a great job she did. But I was in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina last week. Got the opportunity to speak and preach at Southbridge Fellowship. Made some good friends there. But honestly, I'll tell you, you know, my heart is heavy because normally when I go to churches like that, this is the scene. This happens all of the time that here's the deal. You know, I will talk about my story, share my 24 years of porn addiction, you know, talk about that openly. And a pastor will get up and give an invitation and say, listen, if you were struggling with this, if this is an issue for you, you know, we're here. You can come forward. You're safe.
Yeah.
He gave the first invitation and a large man. I mean, just a, you know, mountainous guy, right? He's 6'5", got to go about 320. Came down, picked me up like a Q-tip, all right? And just squeezed me and bawled like a baby, set me down, walked away and never said a word. Then came back around. The pastor came back around and said, listen, if you're struggling with this and you just don't feel comfortable coming down here, you know, every head bowed, every eye closed, just raise your hand. I'm telling you, hundreds of hands going up, right? Hundreds of hands going up. And it kills me that people choose to stay and stay trapped in the secrecy of the shadows rather than just let their image drop and come forward and get help and step out into the gospel, remembering that God loves you simply because he made you. And since you can't change who made you, you can't change the fact that he loves you.
That's right.
You know, so they were trapped and stuck. And it's been on my heart all week. You know, but it happens all the time, and it makes me sad. And so if that's you tonight, hey, give us a call, 877-800-8645. But what does it mean to die to yourself? 877-800-8645. You are listening to Tal Prince Live on Sirius Satellite Channel 161. This is Family Net Radio. We'll be right back. And well, not necessarily quickly, but what does it mean to you? You know, this question, I mean, to die to yourself, what's that look like? What's that mean?
One of the first things for me was as I began to start allowing God to use the 12 steps in my life to change me and to bring me through recovery to sex addiction.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things was just, you know, being willing to say, hey, I cannot have the computer in my lap after, like say, for instance, you know, my wife and I had an argument one night.
Yeah.
And then I thought, hey, it's going to be cool if I just take the computer into the next room and just surf around on the internet a little bit. That'll be fine.
Yeah.
But part of dying to myself was saying, you know, no, as much as I think that I'm going to be fine, and I might have been, but as much as I think that I'm going to be fine with the computer,
yeah.
I just need to realize, no, I'm not going to be fine with the computer. Mm-hmm. Or there's a great possibility that I won't be fine with the computer. And yeah. So I just need to not even take it in there. And so as badly as I might want to just, you know, look at some you know, fine benefiting mm-hmm. stuff on the internet,
yeah.
I'm going to have to do something else and not look on the internet because, uh-huh. you know, chances are that I will go look at, you know, some softcore porn or something
uh-huh.
like that.
Uh-huh. Something inappropriate,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, something inappropriate, exactly.
Yeah, you know, objectifying people. And it all rolls down to lust, right? I mean, that's going to come on the table because it's a nice and easy passive aggressive, you know, smack at the wife, right? It's it's, you know, hey, I'll show her.
And not even intending to, you know, maybe served around for an hour safely, around for an hour. And then just all of a sudden clicked on someone's like, oh, well, I'll go check this out a little more.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
So, yeah, that was part of dying to myself was just saying, hey, and then, you know, talking to people and having people say, well, why don't you, you know, you've got to be on the internet today. Why don't you go to Starbucks and be on the internet? And I'm like, oh, man, you know, I'd be much more comfortable at home.
Come on,
you know?
I'm strong enough.
Yeah, I'll be fine. I don't need to go out there. And, you know, part of dying to myself was having accountability partners like you and Seabass saying, well, no, man, what's wrong? Why don't you just go to Starbucks? Is that really a problem?
Yeah, why are you bucking this?
Yeah.
What is it about you that wants to be alone and in the house on the internet?
Yeah. And I could honestly say I'm not intending on doing anything bad. You know, I could really honestly say that. But dying to myself was saying, you know, even though I think I'll be fine, I'm going to listen to what you guys say because God's placed you in my life as my accountability partners. And so I'll listen to you and trust you.
Yeah, and well, it always rolls, too. I mean, because here's the deal. At the end of the day, the enemy has a threefold agenda, steal, kill, and destroy. And he never sleeps.
That's right.
Right? I mean, he's always on the job. He's always after us. He's always looking to steal, kill, and destroy. And so it's when you do not expect him that he strikes. Mm-hmm. And so you think, hey, look, no, I'm cool, really. I can handle this. So admitting weakness, really, admitting vulnerability, admitting weakness is part of dying to self. What is it to you? 877-800-8645, 877-800-8645. Because here's one of my deeply held beliefs. Now, remember, we come to you live from Birmingham, Alabama, from the campus of Southeastern Bible College. All right, but we are in the buckle of the Bible Belt here, all right? It is my contention, my position, that very, very often that the religion here in the Bible Belt is not really any different than the law of the Pharisees, okay? It's all about behavior modification, what you do and don't do, and how you're supposed to look and how you're supposed to act and what you're not supposed to say and what you're not supposed to do, and here's the list of don'ts. Right. Here's the stuff, you know, you're now a believer. Here's the stuff you can't do anymore. There's very little, if any, freedom in it. And it's all behavior modification based. And it's all at least say these things. Right. And what I find is that keeps everybody enslaved in their sin and in the secrecy of it. Right. Mm-hmm. It just kind of keeps you trapped there. Is that your experience? 877-800-8645. Are you afraid to let anybody know that you've got a sin issue in your life? 877-800-8645. We would love to hear about that from you. You know, if you've got something you just don't feel like you can tell anybody because they're going to kick you out, 877-800-8645. Because here's an underlying message that a lot of us believe and a lot of us kind of operate our faith under, that we've done something really, really bad and God is angry at us. And he's going to turn his back, his arms are folded, and he's waiting for us to go get it together and fix it before we can come back, right? That, you know, we're believers, but we've blown it, and so we've got to kind of fix everything so that we can go back and get grace again. But he's not going to give it to us until we get things squared up. I mean, is that a struggle for you?
Now, why do you think so many people think that, Tal? Because, I mean, I know that's such a common thought, and that's a thought that I've had before, certainly. But, you know, that's so opposite of the clear picture that's shown of God all through the Bible, all, you know, Old Testament and New Testament. So why do you think that so many people get caught by that lie of the enemy?
Yeah, I just think it is the religious culture. I think it is church culture, religious culture. It's what we force on people and push on people. And at the end of the day, we still really like a works-based gospel, right? I mean, we still want to think we've earned it. We still want to think, well, yeah, I mean, how could God not love me? I mean, take a look at me.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I mean, we kind of fall into that really, really easily, and the religious culture jams that at us of, you know, here, look, here's what you can do, here's what you can't do. And that becomes a major, you know, problem for a lot of us, you know. And so we think, and a lot of us also believe that, well, God forgave us for all the stuff until we pray the prayer of salvation.
Yeah.
And now, from this point forward, well, now that we're believers and we're more than conquerors and all these things, that we now must do it. And if we don't, God's really disappointed and angry.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a natural flow for a lot of people.
And it's so crazy, just even logically at all, because I think about it, like, I became a Christian when I was 13. Am I really saying that all the things I did from 0 to 13 were so bad that it took the cross to erase those things? But the stuff I did from 13 to 30, you know, I didn't need the cross to erase those things?
No.
I tell you, that's crazy. That's crazy talk right there.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you know, that happens for a lot of us. You know, we had the salvation prayer, and there was applause, and then we had baptism, and there was applause, and that was fantastic and great. And then we sinned, you know, we got back into our normal routine, sin came back, and we thought, oh no, God's got to be angry at me, because we've heard now that God's angry at sin. Well, now I've sinned, oh no, you know, so he must be angry at me. We don't, and you know, very early on in our faith, and for a lot of people their whole lives in their faith, they never really learn justification. They never really learn, you know, what that really means, that your sins, past, present, and future, have been paid for, and what it means that Jesus is your mediator, that Jesus stands between you and God the Father, and you are hidden in him. And you know, and so your sins are not seen, and your prayers to God the Father come through Jesus, and so they're accepted because it's not from you, it's coming through Christ, your mediator. And that changes everything. But we're not teaching that stuff because we're, you know, we're doing a lot of warm and fuzzy, you know, y'all go be nice sermons every Sunday. You know, and here's 7 steps to a better marriage. And that may be true and great, but we're not really letting people know, look, here are the doctrines of the faith. Here are things that you need to know and understand that are true of the gospel, what the gospel really is and means. We've sold the gospel as a one-time prayer and not as a lifestyle, you know, and that's the problem. And for those of us who've wrestled and struggled with addiction, all addiction is at the end of the day is unbelief. There's things the gospel we're not believing. For a lot of us, we're not believing because we hadn't been taught well.
Yeah.
You know, when I understood justification, that changes. That changes the picture. Mm-hmm. And then you add adoption to that, and it's like, holy cow. That really radically alters your outlook and alters, you know, the you know, what recovery is and how you live the gospel. Again, going back to, you know, Martin Luther and Helmut Thielicke, dead German guy.
Which we love around here.
We love dead Germans around here. Well, not all of them, but some of them. But Helmut Thielicke said this, you know, God loves you because he made you. We said that in the open. God loves you because he made you. It's not because of anything that you've done. And since you cannot change who made you, you cannot change the fact that God loves you. If you are taking breath on this earth, then God loves you because he made you. Man, it's a good day. It's a good day. It's not based on what you do or don't do, because that cannot change the fact that he made you. Okay? He loves you. He really, really does. And I've never ceased to be amazed at the number of people who come to Cliff Barrows, my stepfather, at a restaurant or someplace and say, I got saved in 1967 at a Billy Graham crusade at such and such a, you know, place. And Cliff always knows. But they say this all the time. It's the first time anyone ever told me that God loves me.
Wow.
You know, unbelievable. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tal Prince Live, Sirius Satellite Radio. This is Family Net, Channel 161. We'll be right back.
I've been struggling all my life. Don't know much how long I can go.
So Garrett, Tiny G, Irby bringing in some new bumper for you tonight. You know, so anyway, we're talking about, what does it mean to die to ourselves? What does this mean practically as believers, as followers of Christ? What does that mean? What does that look like? And we've got a caller on line one, ladies and gentlemen. We've got Raphael in Northern California. Raphael, welcome to Tal Prince Live. How you doing tonight, man?
Better than I deserve, to be honest with you.
All right. So what's this mean? What's this mean to you?
Well, it means that I look at my life, you know, living in the flesh and living in the secular world, and when I turned my life over to Christ, I began to experience some things, you know, a momentum to die to my flesh, to my needs, to my wants, not my needs.
Uh-huh.
You know, drugs, alcohol, uh-huh. wild women.
Uh-huh.
And one of the main things that I've been working on lately
mm-hmm.
is my anger. And because I have two little boys who are kept from me mm-hmm. by their mom and her boyfriend
mm-hmm.
For 9.5 years.
Wow.
And I have since found the love, the joy to actually forgive this man.
Uh-huh, good.
And so I died to myself.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was hard.
Yeah, no, dude, that's not an easy phone call right there. That's tough.
That was seriously tough.
Yeah.
I am allowed to see my boys, and I support them
good.
Both financially, and I try to support them spiritually and give them a little direction, because they're that age where, you know, he has flaws like every other human being.
Sure.
But their stepdad has always been there, and he cares for them. He's raised them. He allows them to go a little wild, which I mm-hmm. think he needs to give them direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Lord has actually moved me into a position where I can be effective,
mm-hmm.
Not only to them, but to other people I have opportunity to witness to.
Sure.
I killed my flesh just calling, because I wasn't going to share.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know what? I'm driving to California. I used the excuse, I'm driving to California in a big rig, and I have a phone in my ear. That's a pretty big ticket, you know.
Yeah. They don't play around in California with that.
So, no.
Well, let's keep you from that, and we'll let you go. But man, Raphael, thank you so much for calling and sharing that with us, because this is part of dying to self. Is that we're identifying as, you know, as broken people, you know, and letting others into that and letting others see that. That's part of it, man. And that's great. And I appreciate you being vulnerable and being transparent like that, man.
We appreciate you, and I'm going to let you know one more thing. I bought this Sirius Satellite Radio with a lifetime membership.
Wow.
Just for FamilyNet, and your program has inspired me. And whoever's listening, it's I hope I had a chance to witness to you as well.
Well, you sure did, Raphael, man. And you call us back, man, you know, preferably not in California, because we don't want you to get a ticket.
Agreed.
All right,
you, man.
Thank you so much, Raphael. I appreciate the encouragement, man. I really do. Thank you, brother. All right, man. That's a good phone call right there. And you know, and that's a big part of it, is dying to self for me very much means identifying as a sinner. Okay, identifying as a sinner, letting people know we're not perfect, letting people know we still got flaws, letting people know we still struggle, and letting people see that and be a part of that so they can see God conforming us in to the image of Christ. He does that through the cross, okay? Because here's the deal, Palm Sunday, right? Jesus enters town, everybody's happy, everybody's cool, until Jesus starts to let them know what he's in town to do. When they start to find out, hey, he's going to the cross, the crowd thins out, right? I mean, it starts to thin down pretty fast, you know, during the week when they start seeing Jesus and what he's doing and clearing out the temple. And, you know, because Jesus is coming to town. Now, the Pharisees, they planned on arresting and dealing with Jesus after Passover. But God's plan was to crucify his son on Passover. And so Jesus comes in riding the donkey saying, hey, I'm king. What you going to do about it? He is forcing their hand. And so we see in a Palm Sunday that God is sovereign over creation. There's a colt waiting for him that has never been ridden. There is, and he is sovereign over that. Tells his guys, look, you go into town and you get me that colt untied. You're going to find a colt there no one's ever ridden before. You get that for me. Now, when you get asked, why are you taking my colt? You say the master needs it. Okay. You tell me if someone came and was pulling your car out of your garage, if you'd just be like, if they said, yeah, the master has need of it, you'd be cool with that. You know, so that's the picture there. And so everybody's, you know, so God is sovereign over that. He comes in on a colt. A lot of you have been taught that everybody expected the king, the Messiah, to be coming in on a white stallion and all that. No, they did not. Zechariah prophesied he would come in on the colt, on the foal of a donkey that had never been ridden. Solomon rode in as king on a donkey. This was the sign of royalty to the Jews. Everybody got it. You know, and here comes Jesus rolling into town. Everybody's screaming, you know, blessed be the king and, you know, peace in heaven. Understand now, when Jesus came to this earth, the angel said, what? Peace on earth. Now, the people are saying peace in heaven. Jesus sees Jerusalem, knows that they don't have peace in heaven, and he weeps. This only the second time in all of Scripture that we see Jesus weep. We see him weep at Lazarus's tomb, and we see him weeping here. Why is he weeping here? He weeps because he knows they are going to reject him. Mm-hmm. And you see in Luke 19, verse 41, and when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation. Holy cow. Those are some chilling words right there. And they were absolutely right, because 70 years after the death of Christ, after the crucifixion of Christ, 70 years later, the Romans surround, barricade, and destroy Jerusalem. Hmm. Okay? Now, they were not victims of that because they made the choice to reject Christ. They don't get to play the victim card either. Hmm. Okay? We don't get to play the victim card. We're sinners. All right? We are sinners. And so often when we sin, we think God is angry at us and we don't know what to do. And that is in fact not the deal. Okay. It is not the deal. He is not angry. He loves you. Why does he love you? Because he made you. All right. Never forget that. That is one of the greatest key truths that we can get to you, is he loves you because he made you, and you can't change that. All right. Now, as Jesus is rolling into town, there's several groups watching. Okay. So not everybody was on the Jesus train. Okay. There's a lot of people standing out watching, people from other towns, other Jews that come to Jerusalem for Passover. They didn't know. And they're like, who is this guy? John's gospel records that. They're asking, who is this guy?
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, he's Jesus from Nazareth. And, you know, those are his whack job followers. you know, you know, and, you know, so, but they don't understand. And the Pharisees are uptight because they're all, you know, his followers who've been with him and following this whole time. Is a pretty big crowd. Pretty big crowd. And they're saying, blessed be the king that comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, glory in the highest. And so the Pharisees are mad, saying, look, Jesus, you better rebuke them. They shouldn't be saying that. And he says, look, if they stop saying that, the rocks are going to do it and you're really going to freak out, right? Mm. So, I mean, Jesus is cutting the Pharisees a break, because you imagine it's irritating them to have the people saying that. But what if the rocks started talking? Right. I mean, that would have been a trip, you know. And so, but here's Jesus only for the first time allowing a public display of praise. Anytime he healed anybody, he's like, look, keep this on the down low. Don't run around telling anybody about it. Keep this quiet. But here it is. And he's just forcing the hands of the Pharisees. Because think of how many times they tried to arrest him, right? Look at John's gospel, because it's hysterical. How many times they try and bust him in John's gospel and just try and make a move to arrest him, and he, like, disappears.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or he just, they tried to arrest him, but they could not. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, just little things like that. I mean, they mm-hmm. couldn't do it. Why? Because it wasn't time.
That's
God
right.
is sovereign over time. He's sovereign over nature. He's sovereign over man. He's sovereign over time. You know, it's an amazing thing. You know, but, you know, as people start to find out what was going to go down that week, the crowd thins.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and here's the deal. I mean, when Jesus says for us to follow him, we love to say we're followers of Jesus. I understand what you're saying. He's going to a cross, man. Are you? Are you signing up for that? Are you signing up? Are you saying, yes, absolutely, that's where I would like to go? So would that you knew on this day the things that make for peace. Do you know? This is the deal. Do you know that? It all comes down to the cross. The cross is God's attack on sin. All right? It is God's attack. It's not ours. It is God's attack on sin. Martin Luther said this, the cross alone is our theology. He was right. Mm-hmm. Without the cross, we've got nothing. Nothing. But the cross and the resurrection of Christ is the event that has completely changed history. The cross and the resurrection of Jesus, that is what makes for peace in heaven. All right? That's what makes peace in heaven. The cross was humiliating and brutal. That's why none of us want to go there. We would not sign up willingly for humiliation and brutality. But that's the cross. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Tao Prince Live, Sirius Satellite. This is FamilyNet, Channel 161. We will be right back.
If you're on the line, let me know I'm not alone.
That way. It ain't going that way. It is, you know, because your flesh must die, and it dies on the cross. The cross is God's instrument to conform us into the image of his Son. It is a powerful thing. It is a necessary thing because we got so much stuff in us. But we are so afraid as believers to let anyone know about our weaknesses, right? I mean, you've been there. You may be there. You're sitting in church, and like these people at the church I was at last week, they are not about to let anybody know that they struggle with anything, particularly about porn and sex. They are going to keep that on the down low, not going to tell anybody. But when they asked for just a show of hands with eyes closed, hundreds of hands went up. People not willing to die to themselves, not willing to let the mask fall, not willing to let somebody see that they are a sinner. Listen, there is no point scale for sin. Just a quick reminder. There is no point scale. The overeater just as guilty as the porn guy, okay? No point scale anywhere. And again, we struggle with this notion that we got to fix it before God's going to love us again. That once I get my addiction in control, once I do that, and I've got a comment here from somebody who replied to my question of what does it mean to die to self? And what does that mean is, well, to live for God and not to give in to our sin. Good luck with that. Because that's works-based. You're back on the treadmill. I'm not able to. Okay, I'm not able to work it out. I'm not able to do that. I have to have the power of God working in and through me, through his Holy Spirit. I got to have that. I got to know that Jesus is praying for me. I got to know that the Holy Spirit is in me and giving me the power that I need. But if I'm trying to do it on my own, that is not going to work because, again, I'm trying to fix it. And as behavior modification, and that is not the gospel. What does Jesus say time and time again? Listen, give me your heart. I will change your behavior. This is why he says we're all murderers and adulterers in Matthew 5. If you thought about it, you're guilty. All right? It's a pretty tough standard, right? So the only way out that we have is the cross. The only way out we have is to die to our pride, to die to our ego, to die to our image, to die to our flesh. And we have to die. We have no peace in our lives, so often, right? I mean, because we don't understand this. And so we don't have peace in our lives. And so we go to worship our little G gods, whatever they are, porn, sex, booze, drugs, alcohol, relationships, approval, whatever it is. And we go to that and that doesn't fix it either. And so when we see Jesus marching toward the cross, we see the crowd dwindle around him, right? And everybody's just backing out and thinning out. And same thing happens today. When the Holy Spirit points to the cross, the crowd still dwindles. Because the cross is tough, man. And you watch this week, here's the deal. A lot of people are going to be at church on Easter Sunday. They ain't going to Good Friday services because we don't like to hang around the cross much. The cross is tough. We love the empty tomb. The empty tomb is a whole lot better, right? I mean, that is a much, much better place. We don't like to hang around the cross. The crowd dwindles there. And today I just know of so many addicts that are trapped in their addiction, and people call me and they say, look, what do I got to do? I got this addiction. What do I need to do to stop it? You know, well, you need to know what makes peace for you in heaven. Otherwise, you are going to wind up with the enemy surrounding, barricading, and destroying you. I mean, that's what's going to happen. And if you want to know what you've got to do to deal with your sin issue, your compulsion, your addiction, or whatever it may be, the one thing you got to do is die. The cross is your only way out. It is the only way to peace for any of us. Your effort's not going to do it. You cannot be afraid of what anyone's going to think. You've got to follow Jesus to the cross and understand that it is your sin that placed him there. Your sin, my sin, it is our sin that drove those nails. Don't think recovery is salvation. Don't think because you're not sinning that you're saved, because you're still sinning. You just may not be aware of what that is. Salvation only comes through the cross. Again, the cross is your only way out. God is not angry at you. Okay? He loves you so much that he went through the cross for you. He's the only one who could, and he's the only one who did. All right? And it's not because of what you've done or haven't done. It's because he made you. So how's your war going? Right now, I mean, you're in the cab of your truck, you're in your car, wherever you are. How's your war going? That war that you got in your relationship, that war in your career, that war with your addiction, the war in your recovery. How's that going really? I mean, don't you want peace? So here's a question. If you got a war going and you're warring with a superior force, in what way does peace come through continuing the combat? Right? I mean, when you've got a superior force, the only way out is surrender, right? The only way to peace is surrender. Otherwise, your only other option is barricades, you know, surrounded and destroyed. All right? Surrender is the only way out. It is the only way out, and you do that at the cross, okay? Now, I get this a lot. People tell me all the time, hey, listen, Tal, I dig Jesus, really. I mean, I really do, but I'm just not cool with that whole Jesus is judge thing, right? Let me just say this as nicely as I can. That is the single dumbest thing anyone has ever said to me.
And that's as nicely as you can put it, too. Just remember that, everybody out there.
Yeah, trust me. Garrett knows how I can really put that. But really, I mean, that is the dumbest thing. Look, if I'm on trial for something, let's say I'm on trial and I'm guilty. Let's say I just look at the judge and go, listen, I'm just not cool with you being the whole judge thing. Does that change the fact of his sentence? Does that lessen the power of his sentence if I just go, I'm just not cool with you being the judge, man?
It might make it worse, actually.
Yeah, well, there you have it. But we do that all of the time. When a judge rules in your case, whether or not you believe in him doesn't change anything. Okay? His ruling is his ruling. And listen, Jesus is the judge. He is going to judge you. You are going to go to one of two places. You will go to heaven or you will go to hell. It is that simple. And whether or not you believe he is the judge or has the right to judge you doesn't change that. It doesn't change that. But if you will accept that he went to the cross to pay for your sin, then you will be with him forever. If you don't, you will wind up surrounded, barricaded, and destroyed and eternally separated from him in hell. That's not my opinion. That's what Jesus says. There's no way for me around that. And you can try and fix yourself all you want. Or you can just come along with the rest of us and die at the cross. You can lay down and die, and then he can begin the process of making you more into the image of his son through the power of the Holy Spirit. But holding on to that secret is so tempting, right? But I'm telling you, that secret's going to kill you. The best thing, Derek Webb said this, we believe and agree with it, the best thing that can happen to any of us is for our deepest, darkest, most secret sin to be broadcast on the 5 o'clock news. Because then the pressure's off and we don't have to worry about it anymore. Everyone knows, and you can now just focus on the journey home. And you can come home to a father who loves you and is not angry at you and loves you because he made you. Luther wrote this to an associate who gave some bad advice. Okay, I love this. My faithful request and admonition is that you join our company and associate with us who are real, great, and hard-boiled sinners. Come on. Real great and hard-boiled sinners, you must by no means make Christ to seem paltry and trifling to us, as though he could be our helper only when we want to be rid of our childish nominal sins. He must rather be a savior and redeemer from real, great, grievous, and damnable transgressions and iniquities. Yes, from the very greatest and most shocking of sins. To be brief, from all sins added together in a grand total. Are you kidding me? Those are wonderful, wonderful worlds. Steve Brown puts it this way. Listen, the only people that get better in this life are the people who know that if they never get better, God will love them anyway. God will not only love you if you don't get better. He will teach you that getting better is not the issue. His love is the issue. Listen, when you focus on his love, particularly as displayed in the cross, that begins to change you. You're not worried about what do I got to do and what step do I got to do and what do I have to do all day today. No, you don't have to sweat that. You don't have to worry about that. You focus on the fact that he loves you, period. And his love, when that becomes the focus of your life, especially as displayed in the cross, that will change you. That will begin to transform you into the image of Christ when you focus on his love for you. Because the root of all of your sin is not believing that he loves you. Oh, it's an amazing thing. An amazing thing. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the other side for our just very last few minutes with you this week. Thanks so much for listening. We will be right back. You're listening to Tal Prince Live on Sirius Satellite, Channel 161. This is the best radio on radio. For that, all right? Well, thank you.
You can score it for free.
That's right, man. Go to Noise Trade. You can score most of his stuff, if not all of it, for scot-free. Noisetrade.com. Go knock that site out. You'll be glad you did. Okay, so here's the deal. I want to read this again just because I love it. And it's great for us to remember that we do not cease being sinners when we become believers in Christ. Okay, here you go. Luther wrote to an associate who was feeling bad about giving some bad advice. Here's what Luther wrote. My faithful request and admonition is that you join our company and associate with us who are real, great, and hard-boiled sinners. I mean, this is one of the church fathers, the guy who started the Reformation, right? That you join with us who are real, great, and hard-boiled sinners. You must by no means make Christ to seem paltry and trifling to us, as though he could be our helper only when we want to be rid of our childish nominal sins. He must rather be a savior and redeemer from real, great, grievous, and damnable transgressions and iniquities, just like yours and just like mine, right? He must rather be a savior and redeemer from real, great, grievous, and damnable transgressions and iniquities. Yes, from the very greatest and most shocking of sins. To be brief, from all sins added together in a grand total. Are you kidding? Is that the way it rolls for you? Is that the way it is at your church? Is that really the way it is in your gospel community that we talk about we have committed the most shocking of sins, that real, great, grievous, and damnable transgressions? Do you talk about doing that? I bet you don't. But that is the gospel. That is dying to self. That is getting to the cross. That is the cross conforming you into the person and image of Jesus Christ. That is why the cross makes a huge difference in our world. That's why it is important. That's why you got to die to yourself. That's why you got to focus on the love of Christ. And it's so much easier to focus on it when you compare it to your great, grievous, and damnable transgressions. It changes everything. It changes your perspective. You know, and I love how Steve Brown puts it. The only people that get better in this life are the people who know that if they never get better, God will love them anyway. Oh, come on. How many days would that have changed your perspective had you known that? Right? God will not only love you if you don't get better, he will teach you that getting better is not the issue. His love is the issue. Focus on the love of Christ. He loves you. He is not angry at you. He loves you because he made you. All right. And you can't change that. Listen, if you were driving tonight, if you were in your office tonight, if you were in a cubicle tonight, if you were wherever you are tonight, and you don't know this, and you've got to figure this out right now, that you are going to either wind up with a loving father, or you are going to wind up surrounded, barricaded, and destroyed, and eternally separated from God. Listen, you've got to make the choice. You now know the deal. You've heard the message of Jesus Christ. You have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must make a choice. You either surrender to the cross, surrender to the gospel of Jesus Christ, or you will wind up surrounded, barricaded, and destroyed, and eternally separated. If you need to learn more about that or talk to someone about that, you call us. We'll stick around for a bit. 877-800-8645. 877-800-8645. If you feel the Holy Spirit tugging at you right now, I'm telling you, I'm going to dare you. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to encourage you to call. 877-800-8645. 877-800-8645. We will be back next week. Just kind of doing what we can to irritate the Pharisee types. Easter Sunday next week, still no topic off limits, no sin beyond grace. You've listened to Tal Prince Live. We'll be back next week here on FamilyNet, best radio on radio. We'll see you next week.